Welcome to Skilled and Fulfilled, a podcast for service providers, coaches, and freelancers. You got into business because you're good at what you do, and now you're stuck marketing a business. If you're tired of out-of-touch advice from big-name educators, you'll love real insights from real people who realistically want to make an income from their business and not run ragged in the process. And I'm your host, Felter Unfiltered. Welcome back to another episode of Skilled and Fulfilled. Today, we're talking about five things I've learned in therapy that have benefited me as a business owner. So I did not initially go to therapy because I was stressed about my business. I went way before I was a business owner, trying to decide what to do with my life in my mid to late 20s, having a little bit of a quarter life crisis, deciding what to do with a relationship at the time, choosing careers, and eventually choosing to become a business owner. And I believe that therapy is for so much more than just divorce, death, depression, and PTSD, hence why I went for what I went for. And I also know that business ownership is so difficult. It can be really lonely. Comparison feels really inevitable, especially because you are so lonely and oftentimes you don't know if what you're doing is the right thing. So all you're really able to do is compare what you're doing to what other people are doing. And everyone's like, oh my gosh, yeah, it's the best because you get to be your own boss and you get to call all the shots, but then you have to actually be your own boss and call all the shots. And that can be really stressful and difficult for many of us. So while a therapist is absolutely not a business coach, they are a human being with a job and they understand the demands of having ambitions and balancing business ownership with family. And specifically for me, therapy has helped me learn a ton about myself, understand my family and different relationship dynamics, be able to better communicate with others, be able to better understand my own emotions and take care of myself. Whenever I'm talking to other business owners, I often find myself pulling things that I've learned from therapy into the conversation in order to encourage or help them solve problems or whatever. So that's why I knew that I wanted to do this episode. So, of course, I'm going to share five lessons from my personal life and how each of them applies to life as a business owner. So stay until the end if you're at all interested in doing therapy for yourself. I'm going to share a little bit about how I've gone about looking for a therapist, some things to the best of my knowledge about the health insurance piece of it, and then a few other suggestions for if therapy's not for you, how to find similar support from others for being a business owner. Because like I said, it's difficult. Okay, so let's get into what are the five things that I've learned in therapy that have benefited me as a business owner. Number one would be how to manage worrying, or what I lovingly refer to as the worry spiral. I came to realize during the pandemic that I had anxiety. I think it is something that has always kind of been with me, but it definitely really heightened during the pandemic, and not necessarily because of COVID specifically, but because life really slowed down and so many things that I used to do, I was no longer doing, like flying, driving, traveling, going different places. I didn't do them for so long that all of a sudden, once I started doing them again, I was just so incredibly aware of all of the different things that could go wrong and was endlessly stressed about them. So pre-pandemic, I had a very busy professional and social schedule. I traveled alone for personal life, for business. Like, I did all the things. And then once life, quote unquote, resumed, I would get in the car to go somewhere and, okay, what if I get mugged walking in my car? Or what if I have a blowout on the interstate? Or what if someone hits me? Or what if a pedestrian walks out in front of my car and I hit them? Really constantly worrying about a lot of different things. And even like, what if I'm at home and I'm eating and I choke on food and no one else is there? Like, what will I do? And for me specifically, my anxiety would really heighten whenever I would lay my head on the pillow to go to sleep at night. And all of a sudden I would just start thinking about all of these things that could go wrong. And I would go down, like I said, a worry spiral where it would just be this endless worrying. And I would really work myself up. So my therapist talked to me about two things to ask yourself whenever you are endlessly worrying about something. And the first is, what is the worst that could happen? And then the second is, what can I control right now? So this is not really helpful when you're laying in bed at night and you're worried that someone's going to break into your house and kill you, because what's the worst that could happen? Well, I could die. And what can I control? Absolutely nothing. But it actually is really helpful when it relates to business, because oftentimes in business, I would be worried about, oh my gosh, what if no one buys this thing? What if no one books with me? What if no one signs up for my webinar? And it's like, okay, what's the worst that could happen? No one books, no one buys, no one signs up. Is anyone going to know about that? Probably not. People are not paying attention to us as much as we think that they are. Yes, interested people are paying attention to the content that you're putting out, but not every single one of your followers or audience members knows that you created a webinar and no one signed up. That is not something that everyone is cluing in on. If that is something that is preventing you from doing the thing, don't let it. Just do the thing. You got to do it. And then with the second question of what can I control right now? Well, I can control my effort, and I can control what I say, the content that I put out, the number of emails that I send, the number of social posts that I send. So that's a way that I can say, hey, if no one buys this thing or no one signs up for this thing, I was the one that was in control of all of the content. So no, that doesn't make me a failure, but I'm going to give a hard look at the content and I'm going to see, what can I do different? Which messages resonated? Which ones didn't? What would I do differently next time? As you can imagine, I don't fully have my anxiety under control, and I actually am going to be starting on EMDR light therapy, which is very fascinating to me. And from what I understand, I look at flashing lights and talk about things that make me anxious, and I'm supposed to become a normal person again. So if that is of interest to you, please let me know, and I might do a bonus episode about it or something when hopefully a year from now I am healed and good to go. Wouldn't that be nice? Okay, so that brings us to the second thing that I've learned in therapy, which is guilting myself won't increase productivity. So back when I was a 9-to-5 gal, I had a boss who had extremely high expectations. And by extremely high, I mean really unrealistic, really toxic, and very much preyed upon people who were putting in the effort and almost like a wet rag wanted to squeeze them dry of every single drop. I was often guilted by that boss for not staying until 6 o'clock, even though it didn't matter if I worked on the weekend or got there before them. Nah, it was just about filling the day. And it was very much that guilt was used to increase my productivity. Then when I transitioned to being a business owner, this was something that I learned, aka learned behavior. And I then guilted myself for not being productive enough. Because let's be honest, we all lose motivation sometimes. And there are certain days that we're just really not feeling it. So what I learned was that guilt is not the thing that's going to get me motivated to do my work. By telling myself that I suck or I'm never going to be successful, it's not guilt that's going to actually motivate me. So instead, I have two little tactics that I like to deploy. And the first one is the do something. It doesn't have to be the four things that you said you were going to do this afternoon. If you're going to do anything, just do something, something that excites you so that at least something gets done. So sometimes that means that we then have to kind of shuffle things around because, of course, there are deadlines and clients are awaiting things at certain times. But if I can't motivate myself to do the thing that I said I was going to do, can I motivate myself to do at least something so something gets done? Then the other tactic I like to deploy is, can I just do it for 30 minutes? So oftentimes I can find myself procrastinating on bigger things because, oh, that thing just feels so daunting and there's so much work involved. But sometimes I trick myself and say, well, what if I just did it for 30 minutes? And then oftentimes 30 minutes turns into, oh my gosh, look how much work I got done. It really wasn't that bad. And then I can kind of trick myself into just getting it done completely. Ultimately, it is not guilt that is the thing that is going to get me to get things done in a day. Moving on to number three, I've learned in therapy that it doesn't have to be all or nothing. So I had never heard about the Enneagram prior to doing therapy, but it is a tool that one of my therapists used to help me better understand myself and other people's motivations. And I am an Enneagram 3, which means that I am an achiever. I need people to see me as successful. And that also lends to very perfectionistic thinking, that everything that I do has to be A plus 100, and it prevents me from actually doing things to begin with because I'm afraid of failing, or I'm afraid of them being a failure. Hence, back to number one, endlessly worrying about little things. The thing with perfectionism is that it can be amazing. My clients definitely benefit from it because I cross all the T's and dot all the I's. But something I've definitely learned in therapy about perfectionism is that it's not a complete binary of perfection and failure. It is more of, if 100 is success and 0 is failure, 99 is not failure. And oftentimes we see it as one step less than perfect is failure. And that is definitely not the case. How this relates to business is that you hear it all the time, but sometimes if you do lean into perfectionism, you have to challenge yourself to take that messy action. Obviously, you don't want to sabotage trust with your audience, and you don't want to put something out that is less than a high standard that you expect from yourself. But it is okay to do exactly what is needed for that thing to be a viable thing, and then add the other things the next day or the next week or whenever it is, if that is still up to par. Another thing that we can do is to set ourselves up to not be a failure. So with this podcast, for example, the idea of saying, I'm releasing a podcast and I'm going to have an episode go live every week. And if I were to miss a week, that would really devastate me because things happen. So instead, I said I was going to create a podcast that has seasons. So this is season one of the podcast, where I'm going to have anywhere from 12 to 15 episodes so that I can really focus on putting out very high quality content for that many weeks in a row. And then I can say, okay, that's a wrap on season one. And then I'll see you for season two so that I can make sure that I'm giving the best quality product, but that I can also give myself a break and not feel like a failure for accidentally missing a week or not having a topic to talk about and just having to throw something together. Moving right along to number four, I learned how to deal with setbacks and disappointment. Prior to going to therapy, I didn't really have a lot of emotional coping skills. Really, all I knew how to do was say, like, focus on the positive and sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. I did not know how to identify emotions that I was feeling and be able to deal with them. So whenever setbacks or disappointment occurred, I just always felt incredibly devastated and it ruined my day and I couldn't easily move on or be able to help myself move through that feeling. So am I sad or am I disappointed or am I frustrated or am I annoyed, to then be able to say, when I'm frustrated, I need to take a step back and I need to go on a walk, or when I'm annoyed, I need to step away from that thing and I need to do something else. So it's being able to identify what is the true thing that I'm feeling right now and what is the thing that I need to be able to move through this feeling. In business, let's be honest, there are a lot of setbacks and disappointment, especially early on. I remember before you book the clients and you sell things, all you really have to go off of are the little metrics like likes on an Instagram graphic and opens of an email. That not being what I would perceive as being amazing would really devastate me. This is where it's important for me now to be like, okay, I'm annoyed that I put all this effort into working on this thing and it didn't get a better response. But ultimately, what can I learn from this, or what could I do differently next time? Could I say, I'm going to spend less time on this and I'm just going to put it out. I'm not going to do it to begin with. I'm going to delegate it, whatever that might be. But ultimately, I truly believe that you have to learn to be able to do what's best in your business. So those setbacks and that disappointment is really inevitable, and it is ultimately making you a better business owner. So that brings us to the last thing that I learned, number 5, and that is how I used to seek validation to feel better about insecurity. So initially, what I was dealing with in therapy were some body image issues, which if you grew up in the 2000s and had to deal with all of the crazy, unrealistic beauty standards, I don't know how you don't have body image issues. But one of the things that my therapist talked to me about was, no matter what changes on the outside, you are still the same person on the inside. So if you're currently insecure about yourself and you think that changing something about your external appearance is going to make you less insecure, that is incorrect. You're just going to find something else to be insecure about. We need to work on the insecurity before we work on changing the external thing. And I think that that is so true in business as well. If we are insecure on the inside, if we are unhappy on the inside, no amount of money, clients, success, course sales is going to change that. Instead of focusing on, well, as soon as I make 6 figures, I'll be happy, or as soon as this, I'll be happy. Can we focus on being happy where we are right now instead of trying to let that other thing make us happy? If nothing else can change, can I still be happy with myself? Can I still be happy with my day-to-day life? Because honestly, I think that we'll be so much happier when we attain the goal if we are focusing on our internal validation and internal security and happiness and all that good stuff, in addition to trying to achieve our goals. So to summarize, the 5 things that I learned in therapy that have benefited me as a business owner: how to manage worrying, how guilting myself doesn't increase productivity, that it doesn't have to be all or nothing, how to deal with setbacks and disappointment, and seeking validation to feel better about insecurity. If you've never considered therapy, or if you don't know what it's like, honestly, it is just an hour of your time where you get to be selfish and it's all about you. So unlike calling a friend to vent and then saying, okay, what's up with you as well, you literally just get to talk about yourself. This person is completely unbiased. Their job is to help you be better, deal with things better, understand yourself better. I have moved states quite a bit in the last few years, which is why I've had several different therapists. My favorite platform to use is Psychology Today. They have a lot of different filters that you can search by, like your insurance and different topics, different specialties. I've always chosen a therapist that I feel like I would be friends with, someone who gets my life, my generation, what I'm going through. I did have a therapist once that was way older than me, and I felt that there was just a little bit of a disconnect related to understanding my motivations and my experiences. I am not an expert on health insurance, but from being self-employed and having to have my own health insurance, I know that I often will look at, typically it's called mental health outpatient services, and you'll see, do you have a copay? Is it coinsurance? Whatever it is. I've paid anywhere from $30 to $50 per session as a copay for meeting with a therapist, which I think is pretty reasonable to have that support and have that person to talk to, learn about yourself, everything that I've talked about. But whether or not you're planning to do therapy, business is really hard. So I recommend finding peers that you can connect with, people who are at your same level, who share your struggles that you can commiserate with. Just make sure that you give as much as you take. Don't only lean on people for advice, but also encourage them, give them advice, give them your insight. Even if you think that you don't have insider advice to give, I promise that you do. Everyone comes to the table with different experiences. And I once did a networking call with someone and they ended by asking, how can I connect or support you? And I thought that this was just a really great way to help other business owners. I like to do that as well. Whenever I meet a new person or network with someone is, hey, is there anything I can do to help you, connect you with someone or support you in any way? And I think this is a really good practice that we could all adopt. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. Next episode, I'm going to be joined by Emily Conley, copywriter. She owns Emily Writes Well, and we are going to be talking about how to sell your services without being salesy. And it's an amazing episode. So I will see you there. Is it over already? Make sure you're subscribed to the show so you don't miss any future episodes or updates. Thanks as always for listening and for being here. See you soon.